This is Ottawa Now with Christy Cameron on News Talk 580 CFRA.
We can keep those congregate settings safe. That is the position of the medical community. We're obviously following the advice. And of course, we'll continue to make the investments to keep the school safe, which include the ventilation enhancements we've made within Ottawa schools, where we've seen significant HVAC improvements, HEPA unit deployments. Together, we believe these things are going to help.
That's Education Minister Stephen Lecce speaking with my colleague Leslie Roberts on CTV Morning Live earlier today. The first day of class for a lot of kids that are back in the classroom for the first time since April. It's been that long. Lecce says he believes the school year will be safe, even though kids under the age of 12 can't be vaccinated yet. We're going to bring on Tom D'Amico once again. He's the Director of Education for the Ottawa Catholic School Board. Tom, welcome back.
Afternoon, Christy.
Big day. How did it go?
It's been a fabulous day across Ottawa Catholic. We've seen lots of positive energy across our schools, all kinds of happy students, happy educators, I'd say proud administrators and support teams that welcome back their students. And I would anticipate lots of happy parents seeing their children return to school today.
Are you seeing anything different on the faces of the kids within the school, the behavior now as opposed to April of last year?
Yes, definitely. As one educator posted, there's nothing like the sound of laughter and the excitement of seeing friends in person. If you or your listeners have a chance, you can look at the media hashtag OCSB First Day, and you'll see visuals from right across our 83 schools. It was a great chance for our students to see friends from old friends, but also to start to make new friends. And we also know that we have such a great community here with our parents being very involved with school councils. Many of our schools were welcomed back with welcome back signs, balloons. There was a real festive feeling to the return to school today. And luckily, the weather cooperated for the most part.
Okay, I'm seeing some of these cute messages here. Miss Lemire says, too busy making friends and having fun and learning routines to take photos. Our class is very excited. Happy first day. More people putting out pictures and videos of the classrooms. Jenna Cloutier says, our first day back was amazing. So lucky to have the students I do. And I can't wait to see how much we learn and grow together. So a lot of happiness, a lot of excitement. On the other hand, some anxiety, right? And are you seeing any problems or things that you need to be tweaked moving forward, things that might need to be changed?
Yes, we certainly anticipated that our students would return to school with some apprehension, some anxiety and stress. And through our professional learning days, we prepared for that. The focus during certainly this week is on the mental health and well-being of all of our students, building those relationships. The curriculum obviously is important, but it's equally important to make sure that our moral imperative is on well-being. So that's why we're looking at both of those throughout the year. That's really important. Our trustees also approved our board's spiritual theme this year, which is gratitude rooted in joy, fills us with hope. And certainly as the Director of Education, I'm filled with gratitude for all of those employees that have done everything to have that welcoming environment today. And they will continue to look for opportunities to help the students that have returned. You mentioned, Christy, since April, but we also have many students that have been out of school for over a year because they took part in our virtual schools.
Right.
So for all of those students, this transition is also very important because they need to learn all the routines. Many students last year knew about the hand washing, knew about the masks and the distancing, but those that weren't in person, they need to learn all of those routines to help keep one another safe, and our staff will put that in place.
One big question parents are wondering, is my child's teacher vaccinated? Are the people working in the classroom with the children vaccinated? Your board is following the provincial guidelines that have been set out. They dictate teachers have to be vaccinated or undergo regular testing. I know you're in the process of developing something else right now, a different policy. But for the time being, do you have the testing kits at your school board yet?
Well, it's a complicated process, so it's not just a straight yes or no. The ministry provided the directive that staff could indicate an attestation up to including today. So we're still finalizing the numbers to find out how many are fully vaccinated. Those that had filled out the forms last week, and there was a small number that were not fully vaccinated, we've sent the most current information to them. There's 1,000 pharmacies across the province that are offering free rapid antigen testing to staff members. We found out on Friday that the ministry has required requiring two tests over a seven-day period for those that are not fully vaccinated. So they receive that information on the weekend. So that means this week, those employees will be required to be tested twice. And as you've indicated, there will be rapid antigen testing kits coming. We're anticipating anywhere from 25 to 30,000 kits coming to our board. They do have a good shelf life, so we will have those available, and we'll find private ways of getting those out to staff that need to do the testing. In the meantime, our Board of Trustees have mandated us or given us a direction to develop a mandatory vaccination policy, which we have done, and we've started that process now. It's being vetted by legal counsel, and we've shared it with our union partners to look at any additions we can make to it, and we'll bring that forward on the September 14th board meeting.
25,000 to 30,000 test kits going to the Ottawa Catholic School Board. When do you expect to receive them?
Could be as early as this week. So there's a week and a half delivery time period. They will be delivered across the province by September 20th at the latest, but we believe we're one of the early boards, so we're prepared to receive that shipment this week. As indicated, they really will last a long time. There's no cost to the board. That cost has been absorbed by the ministry and the federal government at this point, and they no longer need to be refrigerated. That was another challenge when you're looking at some of the rapid tests, but the technologies and development have changed, so we'll be able to provide those to staff to make sure that they are testing. We're still waiting for final word from the ministry on development of an app for people to upload their results, but we will be working on all of that this week.
An app to upload their results from home, so it's pretty quick.
That's correct.
Again, you said you're finalizing the numbers, but it was a small number of staff. That's all of the staff, or you're just talking about teachers?
No, we're surveying every staff member, and where it gets really complicated is you have permanent staff members, but then we have a large contingency of casual staff. So we have,
right.
Whether it's occasional teachers or casual education workers, casual caretakers, so we have to work with each of those groups to determine which ones would fall within this policy, if they're actually going to be in contact with other staff members or with other students. The majority will. Some have not formally started to work for us, so we don't necessarily want to include them in numbers if they have not decided if they're going to be working on the supply list. So it's not a simple process, but we will have all that data posted on our board website by September 15th. I do know with today's numbers we're seeing in Ottawa that those eligible ages 12 and over, 80% are fully vaccinated. I fully anticipate we'll be well above that in the education sector, including in the Ottawa Catholic School Board.
Okay, so a small number of staff, but just give our listeners a sense of how small we're talking.
Well, we have about 5,200 permanent staff. So it could be another 5,000 to 6,000 when we look at our casual staff. So the numbers are quite high in terms of staff. But I would say that when you're looking at 80% of the city being at two doses or more, I'm starting with our permanent staff because those are the ones that are most likely in front of the children each day. Again, I don't want to give you a number because the data is still coming in, but I fully anticipate we'll be well above the 80% that the rest of the city is at for fully vaccinated.
And what about the casual staff, the 5,000 to 6,000?
Yeah, that's more difficult because many of them won't fill out the attestation because they're not currently working for us. So they don't actually start to work. Some of them may not be available till the spring, but they're on a list. So we have to contact every one of those employees to find out when are they looking at beginning work. And before they do start in our board, they will have to fill out that attestation. Many have, but now that today's deadline is here, we'll find out which ones have not submitted that. We'll have to cross-reference each list, and we'll approach them individually to find out their intentions for the school year.
Do you expect that you'll have more of a significant problem there because those workers are not in the school board full time?
It really varies. Many of them are retirees who are now on our list, and they enjoy coming into the school, and because it may be an old school that they retired from. It could be just to stay connected with the students or the staff. So if it's a recent retiree, I would fully anticipate that they would be fully vaccinated. The other ones, we just have to wait and see. But we are anticipating, again, if 80% of the entire city is already above that, we're starting at that 80%. Then we're looking at how do we supplement that within our board, because many are in the education sector, which will have higher results for fully vaccination. So I do feel that for the far majority of parents, that there'll be a comfort level knowing that many across the education sector are vaccinated. Of course, they want to know the direct question, is my teacher or EA or ECE vaccinated? And we're not in a position to share personal information. So all the data we share will be aggregated data. if our trustees do pass the policy to make it mandated, there'll still be employees in our board that have medical or protected grounds not to be vaccinated.
Right, but if they don't have grounds, like if they don't have a medical or religious reason, will they be in the classroom?
Currently, they would be allowed to be in the classroom doing the rapid antigen testing.
Right, but but after the mandatory vaccination policy that's being worked
on. Yes, that's correct. So if the mandatory vaccination policy is passed by our trustees, those individuals would not have the option of rapid testing, so they would not be in the classrooms. We'll have to work on the different levels of consequences for those that are using personal choice for not being vaccinated. Those are a lot of ifs because the policy is still in the works and the dialogue process taking place, but if it is passed either on the 14th or on the 28th of September, at that point those details will come out for all employees and they'll need to make a personal decision at that point whether they decide to be vaccinated or they look at another option, which could involve taking time away from the board. They might apply for a leave of absence so their job is protected, but they're not able to be facing their students or other staff members if they're not vaccinated if that policy goes through.
At the Ottawa-Carleton District School Board, the mandatory vaccine policy has been passed. Teachers, staff will be required to have the first dose of the vaccine by September 30th, and then it goes from there. I spoke with an epidemiologist earlier on, Colin Furness, and I asked him about the fact that that board has gone further than the province, and he said, well, that's good, but it's not good enough because it should have already been done and those people should not be in the classroom. So let me pose that to you. Do you think the Catholic board should have done this in the summer, done it before now?
Well, we've been waiting on a lot of the details, and people just didn't know what was happening with the fourth wave. So I think the approach that our Board of Trustees has taken was the appropriate one. They've followed the guidance of Ottawa Public Health. They've been deferring all the health decisions to Ottawa Public Health. It wasn't until this past Friday that the City of Ottawa released their guidance for all businesses in terms of vaccine policies. So we're taking advantage of the most current information and making informed decisions to keep our staff and students safe.
Tom D'Amico, thanks very much.
Thank you, Christy. Have a nice day.
Director of Education for the Ottawa Catholic School Board, Tom D'Amico, joining me. 421, parents, students, educators, we'd love to hear from you. How did the first day back at school go? 580, 580. How are you feeling? Excitement? Anxiety? Maybe a bit of both? Maybe a bit of a mix?
You're listening to Ottawa Now with Christy Cameron on News Talk 580 CFRA.
Welcome back to Ottawa Now. It is 4:27. I got a text message earlier. Shelley said, speaking of hospitals, what's with the photo of Trudeau campaigning inside a Toronto hospital? The hospital has released a statement which in no way jives with what is obviously a photo showing him inside the ward. No one else can go in a hospital. What's going on? So the statement Shelley's referring to is from the University Health Network in Toronto, Canada's largest research hospital. And they said that he did not go inside. The statement says he did not enter the ward. He passed the door of a unit, spoke to the RNs who came to the door. There are photographs of Mr. Trudeau in front of the door to the unit, but he did not enter the unit. So they're vehemently denying that, saying that he did not go inside. That is the statement we have. 4:28, Dr. Kieran Moore, the Chief Medical Officer of Health, gave his first media update of the week today. He began his remarks by discussing the surge in new COVID cases we're seeing. He says, as we get through fall and winter months, we'll have to be proactive to avoid blanket lockdowns driven by the Delta variant.
We have been preparing with all our partners over the summer for the anticipated surge in cases. We will follow the data daily and react with appropriate public health measures. Locally, regionally, and provincially, we will be prepared to minimize the impacts of any surge in illness. What we must be proactive to avoid reactive closures, and that means looking at the best evidence and practices to maintain a strong chain of protection. And our planned proof of vaccination program is one of the many ways we are being responsive to protect Ontarians from the impacts of COVID-19.
Dr. Moore did acknowledge vaccination rates are increasing since last week when they announced a proof of vaccination program went into effect.
And since the proof of vaccination program was announced, we have been seeing an increase in the number of people coming forward and getting vaccinated. Our first dose 7-day average has increased every day from Wednesday through to Sunday.
He's talking about the vaccine passport system or proof of vaccination, which was unveiled for restaurants and gyms and theaters, and that will actually be in place starting September the 22nd. They've seen more and more people signing on to get the shot. So that's happening. And Dr. Moore said today, if that doesn't convince you, how about this? People who are unvaccinated are 24 times more likely to end up in the hospital and 43 times more likely to end up in an ICU compared to people who are fully vaccinated.
Vaccines are safe, they're effective, and are preventing Ontarians from being admitted to hospital and dying from this illness. But in the face of the Delta variant, we need to be humble, be flexible, and be prepared to react quickly to minimize the transmission until more of us are vaccinated.
Just coming up to your 4:30 news, and Dr. Moore did say, if you're wondering about schools, because people are always asking, of course, that's weighing on parents' minds. He said he's hopeful schools will remain safe this year, and that the best way to keep the kids safe in school is to make sure that everyone around them has their shots. Right after our 4:30 news, we're going to go back to the gravel-throwing incident. You know, Trudeau, the Prime Minister, is really using this as a position to say, I am for science, I'm for vaccine passports. He's also gone as far to suggest that his opponent, O'Toole, is pandering to anti-vaxxers. We're going to unpack what happened. Obviously, it's not acceptable. Nobody should be throwing anything. What are the political implications of that? And also, a question that I have, how is the Prime Minister ending up in this situation? Why are the RCMP not keeping the crowds back? We'll talk about the latest polling, vaccination targets, and the French language debate coming up tomorrow. That's right on the other side of the news, right here on Ottawa Now.
You're listening to Ottawa Now with Christy Cameron on News Talk 580 CFRA.
Welcome back. 4:39 on News Talk 580 CFRA. Day 24 of the election campaign. Liberal leader Justin Trudeau is coming out condemning people who threw gravel at a campaign event yesterday in London, Ontario. If you missed it, here's what happened. And there are videos, you can go online, countless social media posts where you can look at it. See it for yourself. A crowd of demonstrators gathered around the bus. Some of them tossed gravel or small stones his way. Today, he said he felt some of the gravel, but he wasn't hurt. And he was condemning these people for doing this. When it actually happened, right after it happened, he was a little bit more relaxed about it, saying, it doesn't really matter, brushing it off. But today, he was expressing concern for the people around him, saying they don't have the same level of protection as I do. And he came straight out and he slammed the crowd, calling them an anti-vaxxer mob, saying they do not respect science.
I am inspired by those people who continue to do the right thing in the face of anti-vaxxer mobs who are not respecting the basic science and the basic decency that Canadians have rightly come to expect from each other.
So the Conservatives have come out and they've condemned this. NDP leader Jagmeet Singh has also come out and condemned this. And if you didn't hear me off the top of the show, I went on a bit of a rant. Obviously, I condemn this. I also condemn the people showing up at hospitals, blocking doctors and nurses, or getting in their way, insulting them as they're trying to go to work and do their jobs. Come on. These are people taking care of COVID patients. That's the lowest of the low. Bullying healthcare workers that are going into long shifts. And this is repugnant as well. Don't do this to people. Show some humanity. Doesn't matter the party. Doesn't matter partisanship. Vote how you like. Do as you like. And I implore you to demonstrate if you want to. But do it in a decent way. Don't throw things. Okay? So enough said. Just in case that had to be repeated, wanted to put that out there. The question is here, and I've got some questions about security. How does this happen? What impact does this have on the campaign? He said that it doesn't have any. They're not going to change what they do. And politically, what implications does this hold? Let's ask our political heat panel.
Now, Political Heat on News Talk 580 CFRA.
Kate Harrison joins us from Summa Strategies, Cam Holstrom from Blue Sky Strategy Group, and Lindsay Maskell, political consultant and former advisor to Premier Dalton McGuinty. Hello, everyone. We're all back together again.
Hi, Kirsty.
Hello.
Hope you all had a lovely long weekend and you're feeling rested and rejuvenated and ready to take on the day. We feeling good, team?
Excellent. Wasn't long enough, you know?
Not long enough, Kate. Yeah. Sometimes you need an extra long weekend from the long weekend. Possible. Possible. Okay, let's get to this. So first of all, I think we can all agree, right, Kate, that throwing anything is unacceptable. Be decent. But what did you think about the different responses to the way that the various parties handled this?
Yeah, no one looks at this, regardless of your partisanship, and says, yes, great idea. Let's do this. Like, it's not ever right or okay. I do think that there needs to be some questions asked around the position that supporters are being put in, that media are being put in by having these allowing these demonstrators to be so close to the action. There's been a lot of, in my view, thoughtful questions asked about whether or not political decisions are being taken around security, when security is often the direct domain of the RCMP or the Prime Minister's, in this case, the Prime Minister's security detail. That should always drive the decision-making on whether or not things should proceed or not proceed. It is a bit baffling to me that people can get this close and that these angry people can have that kind of proximity. I think that we are risking a situation for the journalists and for the supporters and the staff and the Prime Minister, where this is not, it's not going to be tenable. So it's one thing to say that, you know, you're not backing down to them. And I respect that position from the Prime Minister, but let's keep them at a distance in order to keep everybody safe.
Meaning that it is risky, but that there may be political, you know, value in this, Kate, that Trudeau can say, well, look at these people. I'm getting accosted. I'm the champion of vaccine passports and science.
I would prefer not to look at it that cynically. I know some people are. I just think that maybe they are feeling, I guess, a little bit comfortable, or at least they're letting it come across that maybe they're okay with the proximity that's there. People have taken to throwing things now. You can't reason with unreasonable people. So let's maybe reevaluate the security position and the protocols that are in place so that people can actually go to these events, show their support for the Prime Minister. The journalists can cover it as they ought to without fearing for their own safety and well-being.
Lindsay, your thoughts on the way that all of the parties handle it, and then also the question of why is the Prime Minister ending up in this situation? Why are the RCMP not keeping the crowds back?
Well, of course, during a campaign, even in a pandemic, you do want to be accessible to people and voters. So that would be the approach. But all safety measures being considered, there is definitely a setback from the Prime Minister. I was in operations on these events on the ground when I worked in politics and know that there is actually a fair amount of distance. But of course, this has definitely stepped up a notch in the way that this particular group of anti-vaxxers are protesting at events. So yesterday was pretty shocking. This was the first time we've seen somebody throw gravel or stones or anything. So I think that was a bit of a, definitely a bit of a surprise, and security measures will need to be taken to create a bit more distance. But nobody should feel bullied away from doing what they need to do as part of democracy, of being out on a campaign, of having canvassers out going and talking to people and not having them feel threatened. And all parties believe that, and I appreciate Kate's standpoint of we're not going to be that cynical thinking that this is to anybody's advantage. This isn't what we should be talking about in 2021 and the important issues to talk about in this election. So it is, I do think we'll probably see a bit more distancing of, particularly if there are protesters, and probably a little bit more protection about the type of schedule and where they will be and how much notice You know, that needs to be made available for media to be able to attend and be able to properly cover an election. But we do need to protect that a little bit so that these events aren't disrupted. And it's so unfortunate because we have to remember, like, we're at such a great number of getting close to 85% of people in Canada vaccinated. You know, huge numbers on second shot. And this is a small minority of anti-vaxxers that should not be allowed to interrupt a democratic process. So I think we'll see some changes. I appreciated everybody's response, but nobody should feel that they should have to back down in the face of this group of people.
Okay, so Cam, I've heard condemnation of this. I agree with that entirely. I've also heard, hey, this could favor the Liberal leader, not to suggest in any way that these people were planted or it was planned or anything. That is not what I'm saying. But people saying, you know, Trudeau kind of excels in these situations because of the way that he comes out of them looking, in the way that he handles it. Is that a fair comment to make?
I don't want to make it. I don't want to share in the cynicism, but I'm not going to be able to say you're 100% no because of this. And this is just my impression from this and having watched, especially over the last day. I felt that if you're going to make an angry comment about what just happened to you, it would happen in the moment, right? So what happened in Bolton that night later on when they went and did that press conference, to me, that felt very real because it was in the moment, right? And that was a real honest reaction to it. From what we heard of that clip, that happened today in a press event almost 24 hours after the fact. That, I can't help but think, is more planned than reaction.
But could that not just be shock? Somebody throws something at you, you kind of brush it off in the moment, like, I'm okay, I'm fine, I'm cool,
hold on, good. Let me finish here, because I know this is not the best, easiest thing to be saying here. The fact is that what I worry about in this moment is that things are escalating. Things are continuing to escalate. We have seen these things happen around the Prime Minister's event the whole way along. And my worry would be that by basically throwing down the gauntlet at these people, it's going to egg on more. It's going to bring on more. It could go further. And I don't think anybody wants that. And it wouldn't be right if it did. My worry is that by taking the stance of publicly like that, of saying, look, basically saying, I dare you, it could possibly bring in something worse. And again, we have to govern after this. How does this look? I guess what I would have preferred to see in the Prime Minister to say would have been something more in line with what he said last night. Yes. Probably because he was in shock. I don't deny any of that. I don't want to think this is planned or contrived or anything. But I guess in moments like these, our leaders need to be very careful with their words, right? Because they carry a lot more weight because of what they mean. And I guess in this moment, if you and I are in that spot, I'd say be ticked off, be pissed, be unhappy. I know I would be. But sometimes when you're a leader, you don't have that luxury to do that, because you have a greater responsibility. And I guess to me, that's where my mind is on this, is that I'm worried that that by kind of taking the position he took today, it's going to get worse, not better, and not to anyone's benefit, but it's the idea of, okay, how is this going to actually stop this kind of thing from happening? Because this should not be happening at all.
Yeah, and I agree with that. The condemnation, no politician should face threats or violence. Kate, did you want to jump in there with something?
Yeah, I think that Kim makes a good point in terms of how some of these very unreasonable people may respond to the Prime Minister maybe shrugging off some of their lunacy, right? If he is just like, okay, I'll let them do what they need to do. We're going to keep the supporters here safe, the staff safe. We're going to put up a perimeter. Ultimately, they can have their say. I have a very different opinion. My plan is X, Y, Z. Instead, he is using very, very harsh language. And again, I'm not saying that that's not warranted for the people that are getting violent at these protests. But I fear that for those that are genuine vaccine hesitant, and those are not the people that are showing up at these rallies, right? I think that they may be quite turned off by being grouped in with a bunch of anti-vax mobsters, as the Prime Minister puts it. So this is a very charged and emotional issue. And for a lot of people, it is not black and white. And I think that by using really hot language, like the Prime Minister has been using on something that is so sensitive, there's going to be a lot of people that are on the fence and are not feeling particularly encouraged by the climate that's being created around vaccines in particular.
452, I want to move on to the 90% vaccination target the Conservatives has set. But at the same time, Erin O'Toole not disclosing the candidate vaccination rate. Kate, I'm going to stick with you for a second. Is this a clear enough stance on vaccination, or are these two things in conflict with one another?
No, I think that it is. I think that it is pretty clear, Christy. He also came out today and said very concretely, you know, he was asked the question, would your health minister in a Conservative government be vaccinated? And he said, yes, absolutely. He's made his own position very clear that he supports vaccines. All the Conservatives are saying is that there needs to be an accommodation made for, again, the vanishingly small number of people that for medical reasons or perhaps conscious reasons, religious reasons, choose not to do this. So he's not saying that there would be no, no penalty associated with this, because obviously you still have to go through pretty rigorous testing. But he is saying that, you know, everybody should be getting vaccinated. I think that that has been a pretty clear position for the Tories to take.
Is that a good enough position, Lindsay, to say I'll appoint a vaccinated health minister, but no mandate for the other candidates?
Yeah, and I mean, look, I think the other thing we have to be clear about is that, if people are not able to be vaccinated for a medical reason, that's understandable to any political party, right? So that is not a different position of if somebody had a medical reason they could not be vaccinated. We absolutely need to accommodate that. What we're talking about is the policy and viewpoint of those that just feel from a personal choice, not understanding or feeling like they're a part, have a role and responsibility in this with the rest of Canadians who are doing their part for those who can't be vaccinated. So that is a very important distinction. It's a great target to set. Our target should be higher. I don't know that it's entirely clear because there has not been a requirement for candidates to be vaccinated. And to be clear, to be a Liberal candidate on the ballot, you had to do proof and sign that you were. So you can't have leadership on this and not make everybody and not have everybody follow or believe the same of what we're asking Canadians to do for everybody's protection. So it's an improvement for sure. I did worry at some points that I felt that Erin O'Toole was trying to, try to speak to that group of people, not the ones that are not able to for medical reasons, or, you know, that just the ones that just for whatever reason that we don't understand that are hesitant, that can't be educated into. There are people that are hesitant and or it has not been highly accessible to them in their lives, and outreach has reached those people and done great work to get more people vaccinated. But, you know, the fear is are we pandering to a small group of people who are true anti-vaxxers and accommodating for them at the risk to everybody? And that's the thing that isn't 100% clear.
Cam.
Well, to me, the idea that we're giving him credit for saying that he'd have a health minister that believes in vaccines seems like the congrats, you get a cookie award of this campaign. Like, come on, like, how should that even be a question? That should just be given. When it comes to, you know, what does it say about this promise and the state of his candidate say about the campaign? Well, it's an absolute double standard, because I've said this from the start, and I'll stay on this. To me, when you run for political office, you're holding yourself to a higher standard and you're trying to set the example. If you're unwilling to do that and do it on the record on something so important in this moment, then that deserves to be called out, and that deserves to be pointed out for what it is. Of course, medical exceptions aside for those who need them. So to me, the idea that, again, that wasn't the position of the Conservatives from the start, say, you get it unless you have a medical reason for not doing it, you know, it undercuts all this. Because at the end of the day, we're talking about we're about 85% of people have had one shot so far. So really, to get to that 90%, we're talking about getting that extra 5%. We're talking to 15% of people. And of those, a very small number have a medical exemption. So really, you're talking between 13-14% of people who are being obstinate. That's who else is this message being sent to about, oh, well, we won't demand it, other than those people? I'm not saying that he's trying to win them over or placate them or whatever, but I don't understand who else he's speaking to, if not them, because everyone else has done the job. Everyone else has sucked it up, acted like adults, and gone out and gotten their shots. So, again, why are we twisting ourselves in knots trying to take a position that only speaks that tiny minute piece unless you're worried about what that tiny minute piece thinks. So, yeah, like I have to look at it with suspicion for that very reason right there.
I
just got a lot coming up.
On that, just
yeah, go
very,
ahead,
very
Kate.
Quickly, if Aaron O'Toole were trying to speak to that group, he would not have come out today and said that we're going to be bringing about a federal vaccine passport, because that's probably the last thing that those refusers really want to hear, right? So he's out there saying that that's something that he would do extremely early on. The Prime Minister yesterday got the same question, said it might be a year before the feds decide to get around to doing this, and they'll try a hodgepodge approach with the provinces. I don't think that that's acceptable. And if you're a vaccine refuser, you're not looking at Aaron O'Toole and the Conservatives right now and saying, there's my guy. He wants to have a very high vaccination rate and bring in a passport right away.
So he went halfway instead of the whole way, and I'm supposed to give him credit? Like, I'm sorry, that's just bad politics at that point. If you're going to do it, do it. Do it all the way, do it full-throated, and just stand by the conviction.
Cam, Kate, we could go all night, and I know we could on this topic. We also got the debates coming up. And by the way, as I'm talking to you, on a more serious note, there's a Calgary Centre Liberal candidate who has just posted to Instagram alleging that two of her campaign volunteers were assaulted while door knocking, and saying that they're shaken, they're okay, but this is unacceptable. So we're looking into that. We've actually reached out, and we've asked for Sabrina Grover to come on the show. And Calgary police now confirmed to CTV they're investigating the incident. So we're following that story. There's a whole lot to talk about. Thank you so much, Kate, Lindsay, Cam. We'll talk again soon.
Thanks so much.
Kate Harrison, Suba Strategies, Lindsay Maskell, political consultant, and from Blue Sky Strategy Group, Cam Holstrom. We'll be right back.